ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Researchers say North Koreans have recently animated major TV shows for streaming services, including Amazon. Cybersecurity experts say a misconfigured server provided a glimpse into one of the ways that the Hermit Kingdom evades international sanctions. Spokespeople for the streaming services say they don't work with North Korean companies and are actually investigating what this is about. Martin Williams is a senior fellow with the Stimson Centre and works primarily with the North Korean-focused 38 North Project and joins us this morning. Martin, welcome.
Good morning.
So what did your research uncover?
Yeah, so as you said, we managed to get access to a cloud server on the internet, particularly on the North Korean part of the internet. And it was protected with a username and password, but it was misconfigured. So if you knew the exact folder name, you could go right past the password and get in. So that's what we managed to do. And over the course of about a month, from late December until the end of January, we were able to watch files arrive on the server every day. And almost all of those files were working files for animation work that was being done for a host of different programs, but as you said, some for Western companies.
So what evidence is there that North Korean animators may have worked on these TV shows? What kind of TV shows are we talking about?
Yeah, so there was one for Amazon called Invincible, and another for HBO Max called Ayano. We also found a couple of Japanese animations in there as well, and then a few animations that we weren't able to identify. We were able to identify the ones we did because the names of the animations were included in some of the files or on some of the graphics that we saw. And then we were able to match up the characters that we were seeing with some of the promotional work that had been put out by the studios overseas. North Korea has a relatively good animation industry. There's domestic cartoons that go out. And before the era of sanctions, North Korea did work on some international projects. So we already knew that they were capable of doing this. Companies had been fined for working with them in the past. So this sort of just seemed to be that that's what was going on this time.
And what do the TV companies say about what you've uncovered?
Well, they all say that, as you said, they don't work with North Korean companies. In fact, especially for American companies, they would be opening themselves up to large fines if they deliberately work with North Korean companies. We tend to believe that, or at least we tend to believe that they didn't know they were working with North Korean companies. A lot of information, a lot of this work is outsourced. And outsourcing gets very murky as you pass your work to one company. You know, it's very possible that that company then outsources it to someone else and someone else. And that's what we probably think happened this time. You know, the American companies outsourced it to a company in Asia, and then they either outsourced it to North Korea or maybe to someone else. And you know, it was eventually landed up in the laps of the North Korean animators. But it definitely shows the difficulty with which, you know, you can verify who you're actually working with when it comes to this kind of projects on the internet.
Do we know what role China is playing in enabling this form of evasion?
Yeah, so China's a big base for North Korean IT workers. Not just animation, but actually North Korea has an even bigger role to play in a computer software development. There are a lot of North Korean programmers that are based in China and passing themselves off as Chinese programmers and advertising for jobs on a lot of the freelance, you know, gig websites that people in the US and Europe and probably Australia use to get little computer programming jobs done. So China's a big base for them. And that's what we saw this time was that the instructions for the editing were in Chinese. So we think there's a Chinese go-between. And then they'd been translated into Korean to be sent back to Pyongyang for the animators to look at.
So where are the workers actually located then? Is it China or some of them are actually in North Korea?
There's two different models. What we saw, because they're using a North Korean internet server, then they're almost certainly inside North Korea. If they were based overseas, they wouldn't need to do that. North Korea does have, you know, some programmers and people like that based overseas. But for the animators, they all seem to be back in North Korea.
So why is North Korea offering these sorts of IT services?
It's to raise foreign money. It's to raise foreign currency. The country still needs to import a lot from overseas, and it needs foreign currency for that. So this is just one of the ways that it does it. Computer programming, animation. It sells legitimately a lot of goods, a lot of minerals and things like that, which aren't covered by sanctions. But there's a lot of activity that goes on in violation of sanctions. Most of your listeners will probably have heard about North Korean hackers, stealing Bitcoin and things like that. That's become a very big business for them because the amounts of money they can steal in one go can be huge. This is relatively smaller amounts of money, but, a dollar is a dollar for them, and that's why they're doing it.
How difficult is it for foreign companies to verify that they're not engaging the services of North Korean workers? What is the obligation on them now?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. The US government puts out advice to warn US companies about how they can verify. But in the past, we've seen from different lawsuits, different cases, that North Korean workers will present fake passports. A passport isn't really trusted as a form of verification. On the occasion that they are actually working overseas, then, of course, you can verify them with a phone number or a fax number or a bank account in a foreign country. But if they're working overseas, that's not even proof they're not North Koreans. It's very, very difficult to do. We're going to see this happen continually. It's something that, the companies involved in this, companies like Amazon and HBO, are some of the largest entertainment companies in the world. And if they can't figure it out, then I think even smaller companies have kind of no hope of really knowing 100% who they're working with, unless they stop outsourcing, unless they bring everything back home. But of course, that comes with its own costs as well.
Of course. So what more can be done to enforce international sanctions, given it's so hard for companies, as you've explained?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It will require continual vigilance from companies, but stuff is going to sneak through as it has or as it appears to have done in this case. The North Koreans also are getting increasingly skillful at evading the sanctions, as presenting themselves as foreigners, not North Koreans. So it's going to be a cat and mouse game that just continues. I don't think there's ever going to be a way to stamp it out. It's just going to continue.
Martin, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Martin Williams is a senior fellow at the 38 North Project, and this is ABC RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.